If you're bringing your plane to be judged at Oshkosh, don't touch that dial. It's time for a look inside the process with Bob Reese. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to today's special feature, and thanks for the download. Bob Reese lives in Texas, but he's so passionate about home-built aircraft that he's been traveling to Oshkosh and Arlington for almost four decades to work as a judge. Bob serves as the chief judge at Arlington, and I had a chance to talk to him there about the process. You might consider this a little recon if you're bringing your pride and joy to EAA Air Venture. Bob, we wanted to talk to you a bit about judging. They said that you have actually had quite a role in setting up the judging that's done at Oshkosh and throughout the EAA system.
That's correct. We used to be all in a manual paper mode, and then we got to a point to where there wasn't enough time, and the voluminous number of aircraft that are attend, paperwork was just bogging us down. We couldn't get the job done. So as time evolved, we had written some computer programs to use the PDAs to emulate all the paperwork that we used to do. And here at Arlington, we have the latest in our hardware is the Hewlett-Packard PDAs, and then the PC program that my clerk uses is all a new program, so we have no paperwork. When the judges go out to judge aircraft, all they take with them is one of these PDAs. It has the program on there for them to score the results of what they see and what they do. And then we come back, load that down onto the PC, and then we have immediate access to all that information. Makes it time-consuming, you know.
I would have to think that what will you have here, a couple hundred airplanes? I would think it would be very difficult to uniformly apply a set of standards over a period of 3, 4, 5 days and feel you'd really been fair to everybody. How do you balance that all?
Well, that's why we have more than one judge in each category. We have up to 8-10 judges in each category. If you have one person that judges, say, typically on an average higher than the next person, maybe that person judges at a different level. So it averages out. We have categories of items and things that we look at on each aircraft to decide what each judge feels that represents score-wise. And then when we combine all the judges' scores, we come up with an average score. That is a fair, equal way to come up with the decision. Now, you said 200 aircraft. Well, no, we have upwards of, it depends on the weather, of course, here. We have upwards to 1,600 aircraft here, sometimes even more than that. Sometimes it's less than that, depending on the weather. But it takes a lot of effort. And the judges, when they go out, they know what they're looking for. They know what they're doing. They've done it for years. For example, at Oshkosh, this will be my 39th year of doing it there. Here, this is my 15th year here at Arlington. So I have judges that have judged for 20-some years, almost 30 years here at Arlington. So over that period of time, they develop a level of expertise, and they impart that to new judges as they come on board. So it's a task. It's all volunteer, and we do it freely. It's recognition program for those efforts that the builders and restorers have accomplished on their aircraft. And we recognize them through the judging program and the award of trophies when the flying's over.
Barb Tolbert, the executive director of this event, said you must really like this work because you keep coming back all the way from Texas to do this. And what is it about judging that you find so appealing?
Well, first of all, it's the only way that you will ever get to really see the aircraft. You can walk by and say, oh, that looks nice, that looks nice. And, well, you're just looking at the surface. We get past that fancy paint job. You can't judge an aircraft by the paint job, let's put it that way. They get in behind all that. They see the construction efforts, the craftsmanship that the person has accomplished on that aircraft. We look at all of that stuff. So that's how we come out with a top aircraft.
We need to take a break, but in a moment, what are some commonly overlooked details in the aircraft judged at fly-ins? My guest is Arlington and Oshkosh Chief Judge Bob Reese, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest today is Bob Reese, who oversees the aircraft judging at both Arlington and Oshkosh. There are lots of little things that can cost you points in your quest to be a grand champion. At Arlington, one spectacular RV-8 looked perfect to a casual observer, but the whiskey compass, installed only as a backup to the Dynon glass panel, didn't have a calibration card, and in a race decided by tenths of a point, even the smallest oversights matter. So, Bob, what are some of the things builders frequently miss that cost them points?
Let's just take a sheet metal aircraft, like the RV series of aircraft, for example. They're all sheet metal, aluminum sheet metal. There's fit and finish. That's where the joints of the aluminum occur, how they drive the rivets when they riveting the skins to the substructure. Some are overdriven, some are not driven, some are filled, which is a no-no. If you fill a rivet, you can't see whether it's loose or even there or not. But we look at lots of things like that. We look at the trailing edges that are straight, leading edges that are not dimpled and bent in, those kind of things. So there's no aspect of the aircraft that the judges do not purview. They look at it all, and they get past that fancy part. Now, that's not to say that the finish is not part of the judging. It is. The general appearance of that aircraft is one area of judging that they look at. They back off 20 or 30 feet from that aircraft. Are the wings straight? Are they in line? Is it sagging on one side? Are the ailerons drooping here and the other side's not, etc.? They look at the general appearance of the aircraft. That's just one aspect of the judging. And the finish is just one aspect. We look at that. We look at the cockpit, the inside of the airplane. We look at the engine compartment. We look at the landing gear, the tail surfaces, the wings, the fuselage. So it's not one of these quick walk-by. Yeah, no, they detail it, and that's what they're out there to do. They critique the aircraft very well.
Do you ever get aircraft owners who are a little too involved in the process or want to chase you down and say, hey, you missed this?
No, not very much. Let's just put it this way. As far as I'm concerned, if that aircraft is finished and it flies to the fly-in, it's already a winner. And now the problem is how do you decide which one are the trophy winners? And that's what my guys do. They go out and look at things. In some cases, when it gets close to the finish, there may be aircraft that's within one-tenth of a point of each other. What makes that difference? Oh, maybe this fellow, when in his construction, he lined up all the screw head slots, or the other one didn't, or he turned the bolt the wrong way, or et cetera, et cetera. You know, so it's a fun job, and like I say, it's the only way you really get to see the aircraft.
Well, we look forward to following your crew around in the field over the next couple of days to see exactly what they do, and Bob, thanks for giving us some insight.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you all showing up, and this helps advertise the fly-in and lets people aware of what goes on here in some aspects of it. And, you'll be most welcome to tag along with a group of the judges and ask questions if you want while they're doing it and that kind of thing. They'll kind of tell you. They won't tell you their scores.
Yeah.
We don't do that. But they'd be most happy to have you go along with it.
Arrow TV videographer Nathan Cremasino and I took Bob up on that offer, and we tailed the judges as they drove around Arlington in their golf cart. You'll see that video in an upcoming feature on Arrow TV. You've been listening to a special feature from Arrow News. Find us on the web at arrow-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.